grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We must be ready in season and out of season to confess our Lord Jesus Christ. This year, 2017, it's really a rather amazing year. First off, of course, is the 500th anniversary of Luther posting the 95 Theses. The whole world is paying attention to Martin Luther this year. In fact, it seems like 2017 is all Luther all the time, 24/7, 365 days. It's all Luther. But there's even more to 2017. This year marks the 75th anniversary of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, or the LWML, which has done so much to encourage and support the sharing of Christ's gospel with our Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, and among partners and friends throughout the world. This anniversary is a big deal. In the half millennium since the Reformation began, and the 75 years since the LWML formally organized itself, confessing the faith has not gotten any easier. In fact, it may be even more difficult for us to speak and to live as Christians today. And who knows what the future might hold for us, our children, and our grandchildren. Yet God is faithful and has promised that his church will survive all the challenges that the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature can throw at it. Building on God's promises, we know that this is our time to be distinctly Lutheran. As confessing Lutherans in a rapidly changing world and in an increasingly hostile culture, we need to be ready to confess the gospel of Christ to a world that desperately needs to hear it. Confessing Christ is central to our identity as Christians, to be proclaimers of the message of salvation, which is central to our identity as Christ's people. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. The Apostle Paul wrote those words to young Timothy. He did so as one writing to a fellow pastor, a man specifically called to carrying out the office of public ministry. And he did so also knowing full well the challenges that faced preachers of the gospel in the setting of the early church. But he did so also knowing that Timothy had come to the faith through the Holy Spirit, working through faithful teaching of a committed mother and grandmother. He says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure, Paul said, dwells in you as well. The good news of the gospel is given to each of us to share with those whom God places in our sphere of influence, those he puts in front of us, beside us, either in and around our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools, regardless of whatever our station in life is. Proclaiming the salvation won by Christ Jesus, it's not just the pastor's job. Every single one of us is all called to be ready to confess Christ as God opens the doors for us to do. You are called to be ready to confess. The need for sharing Christ is pronounced today as it has ever been. While it is true that somewhere around 90% of Americans claim that they believe in God, their understanding of the one true God is often less than biblical. Add to that fact that upwards of 60% of evangelical Christians, a category that you and I are a member of, think that there are different ways of achieving salvation. You get that? More than 60% of people, evangelistic Christians, believe that there are different, numerous ways of achieving salvation. And that's not right. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no other way of achieving salvation. So we must be ready to confess the message of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, because of Christ alone. Add to that Paul's realistic assessment of where people were at his time. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Sounds like a commentary of 2017. If you ever take a look into what some colleges and universities are offering as a major, or some of the classes that are held, what engineers want to hear, you can find it, whatever you want to hear. But it's not just 2017. It's also 1517, the setting in which God called Martin Luther to confess Christ was easily as confused as in our own day. The worship of saints had intruded on worship of Christ. They were following saints more than they were following Christ. Good works were preached as necessary to salvation in addition to faith in Christ. There was purgatory, images, relics, and other aberrations that had obscured the gospel message of salvation in Christ alone. This context, of course, led to the main character of the Lutheran Reformation. For Luther, as he read the New Testament, and particularly Paul's epistles to the Romans, he was confronted by the question of righteousness. What does it mean to be right in God's eyes? And the scriptures were clear to him. You must keep the law of God perfectly. That's what it takes to be righteous. However, Martin Luther knew that he did not keep God's law perfectly. He knew that he did not keep God's law sufficiently. But he tried to make things right. He went to his priest repeatedly and confessed his sins. He dredged up every thought, word, deed from a lifetime of sin. He confessed it and conditionally absolved. He then went out and did good works as satisfaction for his sins. But as he worked, he then remembered more sins. His mind recalled other things that he had done, and he realized that his confession of sin was insufficient. And that meant his works then were not enough. Finally, his priest confronted him and said, "Luther, it is not that God hates you, but that you hate God." The dam finally broke when Luther understood the scriptures. And the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God is not about us being good enough. The righteousness of God is about Christ, who is perfect. Christ, the God-man, who has completed salvation for Luther, for you, for me, perfectly, once and for all. There's a great exchange that occurs. The filthy rags of our sinfulness and rebellion towards God, Jesus took upon himself, carried it to the cross, and crucified it once and for all. The perfect righteousness that is his now clothes us in and through the waters of holy baptism. Where before there was a sinner, God now sees his perfectly redeemed child through Christ. Where before the person was far from God, there is now a child of God. God's work is for us and is applied to us freely and completely because of Christ. My dear friends, God calls us to be ready to confess this gospel. This biblical gospel is what we must be ready to confess. Luther didn't see all of this clearly in 1517. It took him a few years to work out all of the scriptural implications. But once he did, he was ready to confess, and he did so until the end of his life in 1546. Which poses a question for us. How do we, like Martin Luther, prepare ourselves to be ready to confess? Today, in particular, we've already noted we want to recall the work of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, which is celebrating its diamond anniversary this year. The LWML has had a marvelous impact on the mission efforts of the congregations, districts, seminaries, and many other entities of our synod. And it's always done so by carrying out its faithful mission to assist each woman of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in affirming her relationship with the triune God so that she is enabled to use her gifts in ministry to the people of the world. There's never a perfect time to start an organization like the LWML, but could we have chosen a more challenging time than 1942? The world had been at war for 3 years, and the United States joined the war effort in 1941. Rations were short in our country. Many young and older men were preparing to go fight overseas. Women were entering the workforce to fill the vacancies left by the new soldiers. The circumstances were certainly challenging, to say the least. Yet, in July of 1942, more than 100 women met at a formal meeting in Chicago, and they established the LWML. Its purpose was to encourage a greater consciousness among women for missionary education, missionary inspiration, and missionary service. It also decided to gather funds for mission projects above and beyond what our synod was able to budget. And so from this humble beginning, and through the use of the now familiar mic boxes, the league has blessed the mission efforts of congregations, districts, and synod in amazing and powerful ways. But there's more. As the LWML historian Marlies Moberg has captured it so well, she said, "The blessing of the LWML, now also known as Lutheran Women in Mission, goes far beyond the millions raised for missions. Its benefits can be seen in faith deepened through Bible studies, in confidence built through leadership training, in the befriending of career missionaries, in blankets and clothing gathered for the impoverished, in food shared with the hungry, and above all, in the friendships nurtured and the lives changed by sharing the love of Christ Jesus. Time marches on, as we all know so well, and it seems that we are in an age where it marches at the double quick. The Lutheran confession has always struggled mightily against the intrusion of false teaching. But the Lord has been faithful and has raised up faithful pastors like Timothy who have preached the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified for our sins and raised for our justification. And the Lord has gathered faithful men, women, and children who have carried out the work of the Lord with zeal and devotion, meeting the challenges and opportunities to reach out to those who need to hear the gospel message. Simply put, our faithful God keeps his promises, and we pray this Sunday and always that he will always enable us to be ready to confess the name of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.